The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Howard. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Tonight, Kara and I will be talking about famed debunker James Randi, but in the meantime, Kara, do you have any news for us?
Yes, I do. So last Tuesday, Professor Chaim Eshed, ex-head of Israel's space program, stated that the United States and Israel have been cooperating with a galactic federation of aliens for years, including creating a joint American and space alien underground base on Mars. According to him, Donald Trump was on the verge of revealing the existence of these aliens, but the Galactic Federation stopped him from doing so because humanity needed to, quote, evolve and reach a stage where they will understand what space and spaceships are. Eshed revealed this information in an interview promoting his new book, saying that he has decided to disclose now because viewpoints around UFOs are changing. Eshed was head of the Israeli space program for 30 years and is a three-time recipient of the Israeli Security Award. New evidence suggests that less than 1 billion years ago, Venus may have been a habitable planet with temperatures similar to Earth, oceans, rain, snow, and possibly life. It is now believed that an intense period of extreme supervolcanic activity over the course of many thousands of years could have belched large amounts of carbon into the atmosphere, causing a runaway greenhouse effect. This new theory comes from analysis of the surface of Venus, which found landforms nearly identical to river valleys on Earth. And finally, in weird news from the primordial abyss that is our distant past, a new species of dinosaur was just discovered with both a furry mane and weird rod-like projections coming off its shoulders made from keratin, the same material that makes up our bones and hair, and nearly a foot long. Also, scientists think they discovered a new species of beaked whale. It was a busy week for science. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right, this is Israeli guy. What was his name?
Chaim Eshed.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure if his last name is said Eshed. I wasn't able to find anyone saying it, but it's spelled E-S-H-E-D, so it seems like it should be.
Right. Like, I think of Donald Trump as being a unwavering guy who's going to do whatever he wants to do.
So you're saying the most unrealistic aspect of the story is that the Galactic Federation could possibly stop Donald Trump from disclosing if he wanted to.
Right. Like, how how difficult of a guy would Chaim have to be for them to talk Donald Trump out of giving this up, but Chaim's just all, well, I'm going to do it then because...
Oh, no. Well, he didn't do it. He said the aliens talked Donald Trump out of it.
Yeah, but they obviously didn't talk Chaim out of it.
No, well, okay. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. How crotchety and steadfast in his absolutism would this guy have to be? But, you know, when I first heard this story, you know, I didn't research it. I knew it would come from you. You know, how credible is this guy? Did this guy really hold the offices that he said that he held?
It's like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean.
This is a little ageist of me, but how old is he?
I don't actually know. He's definitely retirement age, late 70s, 80s.
All right. Yeah. I don't know. I'm often back and forth on these because it's like, did he lose his crap and just start coming up with bonkers nonsense for retirement so he could leave something to his kids? Or is he really putting this out there? You know, it's always shocking for me when it comes from higher up people. You know, like we've talked before, when it's an Air Force pilot or some sort of military pilot or even a
general. There have been a couple of those.
Yeah, or even a civilian pilot. You know, we tend to be, oh, well, this person's pretty well educated. They're doing their stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, and then so here we are now with the upper echelons of people who normally, I guess this deal with Trump has shown us that it doesn't take a massive amount of responsibility to get into these upper echelons, but I assume right. that it does, you know, that this is a one-off that...
Yeah, and he was in charge of 30 years. Here's my take. For yeah. one, the Israeli space program is not NASA. I mean, I'm not saying that to discredit it totally or anything. Like, it's a space program, but
sir,
here in
I
the
have
United...
met NASA, and you are not NASA. Right?
Well, in the United States, we have a very, because of our history with the moon landings and stuff, we have a very, across the political spectrum, like, NASA can do no wrong. Like, they're one of the most trusted institutions ever. Mm-hmm. Elsewhere in the world, it's just like, okay, it's another government institution. So,
like, I see.
You do occasionally find crackpots at the highest levels of these things, but I don't want to just dismiss him out of hand. What I have trouble with is he's disclosing this stuff. If he was in a position to actually know all this for a certainty, then he would have been in a position to gather some evidence.
And then I'm always excited about a new dinosaur. You know, I just kind of got used to looking at birds and thinking that they were what was left of the dinosaurs, and now they got a furry dinosaur.
Yeah, I mean, these days a lot of they're realizing a lot of these dinosaurs probably had like fur and feathers and stuff. So the artist's interpretation of this thing is wild because it's like 50 centimeters tall. I don't know how many feet that is exactly. And then they've got these rods that look like uncooked spaghetti just coming out of its shoulders, and they're like a good 15 centimeters long. So, and then they've got this long, like, luxurious mane of fur down its back. It's just the weirdest looking thing.
Huh. Spaghetti.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is one of those things that I just want to know, and I hope I know before I go to the great beyond. Because I find it incredibly fascinating, you know? How could these things have lived and evolved and then died off in a mere 6,000 years? It's really amazing.
I mean, they died off in about an hour.
I was making a biblical joke.
Oh, I get it.
And then a beaked whale, you know? It's like... I don't know. Yeah, life is crazy. Have you seen the new article on the platypus where they show that they glow in bioluminescence now, too? So not only do they have beaks and fur and lay eggs and have stingers and webbed feet, but they have bioluminescence.
Nothing makes me a conspiracy theorist like platypi, because they just sound completely made up. Totally. You know, it's a big old guinea pig with little... beady little eyes and a duck bill and poison spurs, and it lays eggs and it glows in the dark, and who knows, it probably speaks French.
Right, totally. Yes, right. Can't trust anything that speaks French, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just every few years they add another, like, ability to the platypus, which is already overpowered.
Right, yeah, overpowered, yeah. I remember that they have stingers that injected venom. I'm just
like, right. Yeah, they've got these little heel spurs that.
Yeah.
I mean, everything in Australia is venomous and usually like hilariously over venomous for like the actual predators that are facing, like the cone snail, which could kill an elephant, which there aren't in Australia or anything even like that.
Right. It's like, what is it trying to kill? Apparently, platypus. They're fighting off the platypus.
I guess, yeah.
Actually, this would be interesting. You know how, like, when you go back and you look through the fossil records, they're just all, the giant sloth that's, like, a story tall and it's huge and moves real slow, right?
Uh-huh.
I wonder if there's a prehistoric platypus.
Oh, gosh. There can't have been, because that kind of thing would not have gone extinct. There would still be out there lurking.
Ruling, like, speaking of Australia, there's this great old movie called Razorback, which is basically a loose remake of Jaws, only with a giant pig.
Amazing. Yeah. So is it like they're going through the jungle and they, like, you know, split up stupidly and then...
The jungle, like, they're in Australia. They're like in the...
They're in Australia. Okay.
Yeah. It's like a giant wild boar in Australia.
Like, how do they do it then? Because... there's no... The whole thing about Jaws is the shark pops up at inopportune times and bites your boat in half.
What about muddy puddles?
Is that how they do it? It's just you can see the back
Just like,
I have to see. I don't want to give nothing away. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Stick around for some James Randi talk.
Thinking about starting a new career or upskilling for the career you have right now? It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. Reskill for those new jobs that are emerging in Shasta County. Find out today about their veterans programs and free tuition. All of this at Shasta College. Go to shastacollege.edu.
Hi, this is Billy Pilgrim from my buddy Doug Tooley from BNT 241-3474. You need to know that number, 241-3474, for the best service. Doug and his great crew at BNT makes TV so easy. They're the experts. They do TV wall mounts. They did one for us. TV antennas, surround sound. They can even set up your RV or set up your boat. Doug doesn't do dishes, but he'll dust behind your TV. So for all your TV entertainment needs, no matter what it is, call the local guys. Call my buddy Doug Tooley, the nicest man in the world, at 241-3474. 241-3474. They'll be there on time. They'll get the job done on time, and you're good to go.
With over 60 years of combined experience, let us, your locally owned TV guys, help you. We know what we are doing. You can trust us. Call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474.
Doug makes TV easy.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR.
Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody!
Radio Wasteland comes to you from Reading Studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
Hello, my darlings. Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Your guests tonight are Tara and I. That's exciting. We're talking about the amazing... James Randi, which I can't hear this guy's name without laughing because it always makes me think of this Family Guy thing where there was a bully in high school that kept pantsing Peter and Peter would yell Randi every time. So every time I hear this, I think of Randi, but he had some cool name like Randi the Magnificent or something, wasn't it?
It's like yeah, something like that.
Name, you know?
Yeah, when he was a stage magician.
Yeah.
Which, you know, was a lot earlier in his life.
So the reason why we're talking about James Randi is he died this year.
One of the many deaths claimed right. by 2020.
And that James Randi is most famous for being a, you know, skeptic, although his day job originally was to be a stage magician. But
and not just a skeptic, but a debunker.
Right. He didn't like that term, though, apparently.
No, he did not. But that's what he's remembered as.
Right. He preferred investigator. But,
uh-huh.
You know, I wonder what the general consensus in the magicians, because I'm sure there's two attitudes of magicians. And one is, this is a trick and everybody knows it's a trick and I'm impressive because I did this trick.
Right.
Or the other being, I'm performing magic and you're to be amazed and mystified.
Right. Well, I think there's a long history in the magic community of debunking other magicians and paranormal stuff. Most notably, Harry Houdini was a friend of Conan Doyle for a while until he debunked one of Conan Doyle's most favorite spiritualists, because Conan Doyle was big into seances and all of that.
Right.
Mediumship, and that got them to be mad at each other. But there was even a time when Harry Houdini was, like, exasperated, and he was explaining to Conan Doyle, I've done these tricks, you claim they are supernatural, but I'm telling you there's nothing supernatural about it, I'm not going to tell you how I do it, but that's what it is, to which Conan Doyle responded, well, perhaps you too are supernatural, and you just... Perhaps you too have psychic powers,
right.
and you just aren't aware, which, funnily enough, is something that multiple people said to James Randi.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's kind of a desperate plea. The last plea of a desperate man is that, oh, yeah, well maybe you're magical too, you know? It's like,
obviously.
It's the amazing Randi. It wasn't Randi the amazing Magnificent, Randi. The amazing okay. Randi.
I mean, they both sound ridiculous.
Yeah, totally. So I'm curious how, because like you remember years ago on TV, there was that masked magician that was showing all the tricks on TV. And I think it was called The Masked Magician. And he was giving away on TV how all these tricks worked. And people were supposedly pissed, but you never know. You know, in this world, it's like,
you know, obviously in this world, everybody's just all, oh, Twitter's up in arms. I'm just all great. A bunch of Russians, bots, and some angry people. You know, it's like. Mm-hmm. So back then, I wasn't really sure if that was like a marketing pitch or if people really were upset that he was giving away the secret.
I think magicians don't love it when other magicians, like, reveal their tricks because that hurts their livelihood.
Right.
You know, no one wants to see a trick that they know how it's done.
Right.
So.
Unless, you know, you just want to see the technical execution.
Right. I think that's not why most people attend magic shows. But,
right.
So I also think these people who were mad weren't mad because he was, you know, debunking and removing the mystery. He was mad because he was coming after their jobs.
Taking food out of their kids' mouths.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So James Randi, you know, started out as a magician, and he went on to start the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, mm-hmm. and was the founder, surprisingly enough, of the James Randi Educational Foundation, or JREF.
Oh, is that James Randi? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, really? Yeah. So, you know, he went around, and he debunked, I guess, as much as mm-hmm. he didn't like the term. And most famously, he debunked somebody named Peter Popoff. Did
right.
you look into this one at all?
Why don't you refresh my memory?
All right. He was like a German-born televangelist and clairvoyant and faith healer. And, mm-hmm. like, he would get all the people in the room, and he would, like, point them out and, like, say their addresses and where they lived and what their medical health was. Which, personally, today, it would just be, I'd be in a room, and they'd just be, Chauncey lives at this address. I'd sue him. I'm just all, they're going to get me. You know, it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but, and, I mean, he was born in 46, so he's only 30 years older than me, but. So that would be in the 90s, probably, that he was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that he was getting cues from his wife in his earpiece that was telling
right.
him, and he tried to say, oh, she's just helping me find people who need the most help and stuff. But James Randi apparently set him up by putting a man dressed as a woman in the audience.
That's some Shakespearean shit.
Right, this right. And
some
and
12th
basically,
night drama.
Right, and had who supposedly had uterine cancer, and Popoff cured her of her uterine cancer.
Mm.
Turns out that she or he, I'm not sure if this was solely a costume or a lifestyle, but actually had testicular cancer, so I'm not sure if that's the big twist, but
close enough.
Just to, you know, stick it all the more to Popoff that he deserved this. Apparently, his wife in his earphone referred to this person dressed as a woman that was black as that big N-word in the back and keep your hands off of them chest parts. I'm watching you. And there was basically a lot of sort of racist and sort of homophobic slurs going on at the same time as he was curing the supposed uterine cancer. So I guess I like James Randi a lot for that, for sticking with that guy, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, there were a lot of people. Uri Geller sued him, I think, for, like, exposing one of his tricks. Uri Geller was very litigation happy. He sees a problem, he sees it, so, which is, I think we can all agree, a prime characteristic of some of the world's most trustworthy people.
Sounds like people driving around looking at buildings to sue the buildings for not having access. And
exactly.
Because that apparently is going on, and don't get me wrong, I believe that wheelchair access is important, but there have been cases of people just driving around finding buildings that didn't.
Right, for the money, yeah. So he did this, 2-hour television special called Exploring Psychic Powers. And I think there's some really interesting stuff in here about specific people he debunked, because the idea was that there was a prize for anyone who could come on and demonstrate that they had powers. This was separate from his $1 million prize. And basically he would set up experiments to sort of catch them. So, like, there was an astrologer who said that he could ascertain a person's astrological sign just after talking to them. He So they set up a thing where he had 12 people and had to guess their astrological signs, and he didn't get any right. And there was a person who claimed they could read auras around people. So basically they set up an experiment where there were a bunch of screens, and people were behind some of the screens. And she had to, like, guess which volunteer was behind it. She saw their aura, and then it's like, okay, and now...
I had to line them up to the screen, who was behind the screen based off of the aura. That makes sense.
Right, and, like, these tests were pre-agreed to by each person.
Right.
So, the idea is that, you know, she can see auras a few feet above their heads, so the screens were, you know, set up in such a way that she would be able to see their auras, but not the person. But, unfortunately, well, the thing is, there were only volunteers behind a few of the screens at all. A bunch of them were just empty, and she claimed that she saw auras above
all of them. Ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're coming up on break here, but I want to find out if this lawsuit actually went anywhere, but also the other thing that James Randi is most famous for was setting up a prize that ended up working its way up to $1 million to prove some kind of psychic power, and we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
What's your Thanksgiving Day plan this year? Black Bear Diner will be open, and you've got options. Come in for a three-course entree. Choose from turkey, ham, or prime rib. Or grab a Thanksgiving meal to go for an easy fix at home. If you're on the road, stop at one of our 145 diners for a fill-up along the way. Search for Black Bear Diner near me. Spend your Thanksgiving with Black Bear Diner. Open daily in Reading at 2605 Hilltop Drive.
Black Bear Diner.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, Colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Since 1890, Stifel has established itself as one of the nation's leading wealth management and investment banking firms by understanding clients' hopes and dreams, focusing on building and preserving wealth. Simply put, when you achieve your goals, we achieve ours. I'm proud to be a part of Stifel as a financial advisor. This is Susan Eastman, First Vice President Investments. Call today for quality time well spent. 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. You're listening to Chauncey and Kara as we talk about the famous, maybe infamous, if you're a liar, James Randi. James Randi, as we talked about before, he was famous as a magician, the Amazing Randi. Should have been the Amazing Rando. And, you know, secondly, he was most famous for coming up with a prize that would prove that psychic powers existed. Now, before the break, you were talking about somebody... tried to sue him, but I think we got sidetracked a little bit on the process that it went through. Did that lawsuit go anywhere?
No, it didn't.
Was it just thrown out, or?
It wasn't thrown out. The guy, Uri Geller, like I said, very litigation happy, dropped the lawsuit to focus on a different lawsuit.
Great.
So,
yeah, sounds like some people I've known. That's funny. All right, so he's most famously for coming up with this prize. What was this prize called? I forget what it was called. But it was from the Committee for Skeptical
Inquiry. The $1 million paranormal challenge.
Right. And originally it started out as like $10,000 of his own money or something like that, and other people contributed, and it ended up getting up to $1 million, where he was basically willing to give that $1 million to anybody who could prove it. Now, proof can be vague.
Well, the idea was that they would tailor whatever laboratory tests
to whatever
the specific claims that were made, and that both the person making the claims and the foundation would agree upon them.
Right.
And, you know, obviously if they couldn't agree, then no tests would go forward.
Right.
And
this was after this Aura Lady.
This was actually before. This television special was actually relatively recent, and it featured an astrologer, an Aura Lady, a dowser, a card reader, and I think something else.
So did anybody ever go after the million?
I believe that several people did. Obviously, no one ever got it. But
that's disappointing.
I want to say there were several tests.
I find it disappointing that, I don't know, you'd think for $1 million somebody would be able to prove or at least create enough doubt that something is great, you know? Because, I mean, these cold readers, I mean, that stuff is impressive, you know? When you see
the
cold read, I mean, I look at it and I know what it is, or at least I know what they call it, and I still look at it and go, I don't know, you know? Maybe there is some level of deeper understanding going on there, some level of give and take, you know? So it's a little disappointing that nobody ever got up there and actually did something that made everybody kind of shrug.
I mean, yeah, it is disappointing, but reality is terrible. So it looks like there were 8 different claimants and all failed. And then there were a whole bunch of applicants who, you know, were rejected because they couldn't come to a compromise or an agreement on how to do the test. There were a whole bunch of those, obviously.
Yeah, because, like, you watch, what's that singing show, American Idol?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get every jackass and their brother up there willing to give it a shot. You think for $1 million to prove your psychic ability, you think people would just be randomly getting up there going, let's give it a shot, maybe I have psychic powers. With enough motivation, maybe $1 million motivation, maybe I can read their mind.
Yeah, I mean, I think people probably don't want to be humiliated.
They seem to be all right with it on American Idol.
That is true. Yeah, that's a good point, but I feel like I got told I'm not a great singer on TV is in a sort of different category as I got told that I'm a charlatan and a liar by a bunch of scientists.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't
that's
know.
That's true. But yeah, I am I don't know. Do you, like men that stare at goats, you know, I want to believe that something's going on out there and all this remote viewing and stuff like that, but with nobody able to prove anything. Now, these remote viewers always say that they're under some non-disclosure agreement by the government.
Right.
And so that part's believable, I guess. But
well, if you'll remember, the Project Stargate was shut down in the 90s after it had been running for 20 years, and it was shut down, at least according to the government, who obviously are not to be trusted, but because they said it had never produced actionable intelligence. Now, there were a couple of hits. There was something like a submarine they found at some point, a plane crash they found, but there were also, you know, so many misses that it was like, we can't trust their word anymore.
Well, it's like the argument of why lucky people are lucky, and that is because they're willing to try.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, the statistics.
I mean, I think success in life, this is a total tangent, but I think success in life is generally much more attributable to just banging your head against the wall till you find the weak spot rather than figuring out where the weak spot is, because I think the latter is basically impossible.
Right, like, was it Einstein, 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration?
Right.
Yeah. So
I
is
mean,
that how you
That's
take
why
online?
The dumbest people are in charge of everything, because, you know, they don't learn from failure, so they, you know,
eventually just
break
successful. Through the door.
Yeah, exactly.
Is this how you live your life?
Oh, I live my life paralyzed by indecision.
I see, yeah.
So I recognize that I should be beating my head against the wall, but darn it, the wall is hard, and my skull is fragile and easily broken.
Right. That's funny that you say paralyzed by indecision, because I did too, and my dad, I don't know if he coined the term, but he used to refer to me as having paralysis through analysis, and
you know,
that's the price of being smart, people, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to be so
like
smart.
Us.
Hard to be so smart, and handsome, and beautiful. You know what are you gonna do?
It really is such a curse, you know.
Yeah. So you know, debunking, talking about James Randi.
We're done with
before
that.
We talk too much about how you know. But debunking, you know, him talking about how he didn't like the term debunking, like, makes me think, like, I don't know, is that really, I'm trying to decide if it's a noble pursuit.
I think so.
And like, well, where's the line drawn? I mean, should you debunk religion? Should you debunk just when it becomes expensive?
Well, James Randi thought so. James Randi was Richard Dawkins' level of hating religion. He said something about, you know, he thought that the belief in God was one of the worst things to afflict humanity ever.
Dude.
Yeah, so, his...
That's some, like, burned at the stake, that's burned at the stake talk right there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't necessarily share this, but his belief was, yes, debunk anything and everything that is untrue. I think, you know, a lot of, you know, card readers and phone psychics and stuff, those people know they don't have powers, mostly. You know, these are people who answered an ad to do this gig and have some modest cold reading ability. But, like, that's not the point. It's for fun.
Right.
So, if James Randi had been, like, debunking these people, I would have been like, okay, that's lame. But he mostly stuck to very high-profile folks with, like, a cult-like following. And I think dunking on cult leaders is always valid and a good thing to do.
Yeah, and when I was growing up, there was this woman, and she had a call-in thing, and she was, like, some Jamaican lady, and she had this sort of big call-in thing at the time, and commercials were all over the place when I was, you know, through my 10s all the way up into my 20s. So people my age are probably going to remember this. I wish I could remember her name, but she had some mystical name, and she was mm-hmm. a Jamaican, which obviously means that she has psychic abilities. I never really understood that part. Was it just playing off of the foreignness of it, or I was never really quite sure. But
maybe yeah, she just remember, happened to be Jamaican.
Yeah, that crossed my mind too. But I mean, you know, every factor gets in there. But I can't decide if this is sort of like a party pooper role to choose in one's life. You know, I'm all super science and I'm going to go out and debunk fun. You know, or is this something that the world really needs? You know, given the world right now and the way that people are so eager to kind of follow whatever BS is going on. And I mean, I agree with what you said earlier, you know, reality does suck. But
right, exactly.
How bad?
But we also got to live in it, you know? And it's even harder to live in it when there are people who aren't living in it.
Right.
You know, running around wrecking shit.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We're going to talk about how. How does one go about proving this?
Remotely and wanting to level up by maximizing your working experience? Stop by Drop In Go Working at 155 Lake Boulevard East. Rachel left a 5-star review for drop-in. Love this place. I moved to Reading recently from the Bay Area and work remotely full-time. Started going nuts at home, and luckily, this place is a great location and meets my needs beyond my expectations. They also left a 5-star review. Very productive place. It took me a few hours at drop-in to finish a few days' work at home. Internet is super fast. Drop-in, go working at 155 Lake Boulevard East in Reading.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading is part of Operation Holiday Salute, honoring our veterans and the men and women who are currently on active duty for their courage, bravery, and sacrifice. North Valley Distributing at 530-222-1500 wants to thank the brave men and women who have taken an oath and have proudly served or are currently serving our country and the American people. North Valley Distributing, part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Fall sometimes brings us smoke and ash. This is one of those years, and the health of you and your car is very important. At Premier Oil Change, our 30-point certified service will not only check the fluids in your vehicle, but will make sure to reach the areas that ash, soot, and smoke contacts, like your engine's air filter. We also check your in-cabin air filter to help the quality of air that your family breathes. This is all part of our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Services require no appointment. Wait in the comfort of your own car with free Wi-Fi and beverage. Don't forget about Premier Oil Change Rewards Program. You earn points for every dollar you spend. Add to that, free fluid top-offs. Now that's service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com. Located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Listening to Free Fire Radio 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. We are loosely talking about James Randi. it's more so James Randi as the inspiration for the discussion. Yes.
James Randi as the archetype.
Right. You know, I liked your pointing out the aura thing. That was really, really cool, because I was thinking to myself, yeah. Well, how do you go about proving these things? You know, how do you prove? Well, we had this discussion with Eric Brumble talking about
using devices that you don't know are working to discover something that you don't know is there. And I always thought that was really interesting. So as I was thinking about this today, just Ghostbusters 1 just kept popping into my mind of when Peter Venkman's like doing the cards and electrocuting him or whatever in order to see if they had psychic powers and saying what's going on behind the card. You know, so I don't know. How do you think? Well, were there any other examples of ways that they tested this that you know of, or how would you think that we would do?
Well, here's the thing. There's actually a huge body of literature of psychologists doing exactly that, dating back more than a century. And the results are maybe surprisingly actually quite mixed. There are in fact a number of high profile experiments that do show ESP. Here's the thing though, these are experiments not like what James Randi did where he was like debunking individuals, but these were experiments on large groups of people, you know, tens of people, hundreds of people, etc. And it was usually like, on this experiment, we expect people to have a hit rate of 25%, you know, because that's random chance if you're guessing one in four possibilities. But when we average out how everyone did, we get a hit rate of, you know, 30%. And that's the kind of psychic powers that I think there's some evidence for. That said, it's far from clear that this is true because there have been a bunch of people who tried to replicate these studies and weren't able to. There have been a bunch of people who tried to replicate these studies and were able to. So it's a little up in the air. One would expect from a scientific study that is actually valid that anyone could replicate it. That's sort of the gold standard of science, replicability of experiments. But unfortunately, well, in psychology in particular, but in a lot of scientific fields, this is a huge problem. There was a study a few years ago about where some people just decided, we're going to take 100 published studies and we're going to try and replicate all the experiments. And they found that, like, way more than half couldn't be replicated.
Oh,
so
really?
A lot that gets published is not true.
Right, it's not peer-reviewed.
No, it is peer-reviewed. That's the point.
Well, isn't a peer-reviewed other people recreating it, or?
No, see, one would hope. Peer review is just other scientists looking through the methods and saying this seems valid. See, here's the problem. It's actually very difficult to get... Journals don't want to publish replications. They want to publish new studies with positive results. They don't want to publish people replicating old studies and saying, actually, we couldn't find this, because that doesn't sell magazines.
Right.
Science, I love science. Science isn't as good as people think it is. I see people all the time looking at studies and saying, this is a study, it's factual, its conclusions are true. And I see people all the time, especially nowadays, going totally in the opposite direction, like, all these scientists are paid off, it's, none of it's true. And, you know, both of these are stupid. It's really, I think you can very confidently trust a strong consensus amongst scientists in the field. But an individual study that hasn't been replicated, I think, should probably not be trusted until it is, especially if it says something very surprising. So here's the thing. There's evidence that is as good as most studies for the existence of ESP. However, does that mean it's true? Not necessarily, because of all the problems I just brought up.
Right, and it's somewhat anecdotal because it's such a, you know, there's always chance, and unless you do it over and over and over to recover.
Sure. And that's the idea. So in 2010, the big one I'm thinking of, there was analysis of 9 different studies, all done by this one guy over the course of 10 years, and they all showed significant results. And this is the thing that has been replicated inconsistently, like about half the people who...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.